Tonight, we're just going to make one point, one very simple point, and that is that prayer, now you already know this, prayer is talking to God, and it's nothing else. It's communicating with the Lord. So let's look in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We pray that you would teach us more about prayer. Teach us, Father, the very foundation and basics of prayer, and help us to stay on that foundation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So prayer is a literal communication between a spiritually alive, born-again child of God and his Savior or his Creator. And so because prayer is communicating with the Creator, it makes prayer God-centered. It's not about self, it's not about people, it's communion and communication with the Lord. And so in prayer, we're simply talking to God. It's as simple as it gets. We're talking to the Lord, and when we're talking to him, we're addressing him. And you know, a father teaches his child, when you're speaking to someone, look them right in the eye, have eye contact, be focused on that person. And that's good advice for prayer, too. When we're praying to God, when we're talking to God, we should be focused on him. And our prayers are often focused on men. Sometimes we are praying for men, like they were in Acts chapter 12, but that prayer, even though it was for a person, it was addressed to God. And it says that prayer was made unto God for him, for Peter. So Peter was the content of the prayer. They were asking the Lord to deliver him. It was about a man, but it was addressed unto the Lord. And we see this in another example when the Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in what some people call the Lord's Prayer. It's perhaps more accurately referred to as the disciples' prayer. Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And he says, after this manner, pray ye. So here's how to pray. And the first thing that he says after that is, our Father which art in heaven. So it is a prayer that is directed to our Father in heaven. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. It's God-centered. It's a talking to God, directed to the Lord. And that's the first instruction that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. So simple. We all know it. But as we continue on, I think we've all wandered from that. I know I've been guilty of it before. It should be obvious that when we're praying, we're talking to the Lord. But sometimes when I hear people pray, even at prayer meetings, and I'm talking about going back for many years and not just prayer meetings here but elsewhere, when you hear people pray, sometimes a brother or sister in the Lord will begin to pray and they're talking to the Lord, but at some point they begin to address the congregation and they begin speaking to people, and the prayer becomes really an exhortation to the people. It might be a good exhortation, but that's wandering away from the very foundation of what prayer is. Sometimes it might even become a little mini-sermon, something you want the congregation to know, or to something you want people to be sure to do. And sometimes I've even heard the pronouns change from talking to the Lord, and then they say, and we should do this and that. And so it was a change. I have even heard a dear brother in the Lord praying for, we'll just say, for John Doe. And in the middle of the prayer, he began to tell the Lord how to get to his house. It's down this street, and you take a left. His mind was wandering. He wasn't focused on what he was doing, obviously. And his prayer went from addressing God to speaking to people. And you know who are perhaps the most guilty of this? Pastors and evangelists. The preacher begins to pray for the congregation, and before you know it, he slips into or slides into preaching to the congregation. Or the evangelist prays to the Lord at the beginning or at the end of the service, and somehow that prayer to the Lord morphs into a salvation message. God doesn't need to be saved. You're addressing people when you've crossed that line. Now, it's perfectly legitimate in prayer to ask God to open the minds of people so that they might understand the gospel and that their hearts would be open to the gospel. But when you ask that, you're addressing it to God. But sometimes when we begin a prayer addressing it to the Lord, and we shift to men. And I've heard evangelists do this before, or preacher, or somebody preaching the gospel, and in the middle of the prayer, they will say, "And would you please raise your hand?" With no transition or segue whatsoever, just talking to God, and then saying, "Would you please raise your hand and come down?" You know, come to the. I don't know what they might say, but it's just not a focused prayer. And I don't think there's anything malicious about this, and I don't think it's intentional, but it happens, and we should be careful in our prayers. And sometimes our minds tend to drift. I know my mind has drifted in prayer, and sometimes it's because of physical tiredness or sleepiness, and it could be because we're just not paying attention to what we're doing as we address the High King of Heaven, the Sovereign Lord of the universe, and we forget that we're actually speaking to the Creator. And this kind of drift, this kind of shift, is more likely to happen in a prayer meeting or in a public setting when we're praying with other people around us. And the reason that we shift from speaking to the Lord to speaking to addressing people is because we are more mindful of the people around us than we are of the one that we're addressing in prayer. So prayers are obviously not to be addressed to men. And also, teaching and a gospel presentation or exhortations to godly living should not be addressed to God in our prayers. You know, when this doesn't happen is in our private prayer time, in our prayer closet, as opposed to in a public setting. And this doesn't happen in our private prayer because there we're not thinking, there's nobody around us, so we're not mindful of people around us and what we sound like to them. We're conscious of God and not conscious of men. But sometimes in a public prayer setting, we're more conscious of the people around us than we are to the Lord Himself. And once we become less mindful of people, less mindful of men around us, our prayers are much more likely to come from the heart, as opposed to trying to impress people with flowery language and sound really spiritual and mature. That happens sometimes in a public setting. You know, Jesus said that the Pharisees prayed to be seen of men, long robes and a standing up in a big public place. That was their problem. But sometimes we pray to be heard of men, to sound intelligent or really spiritually minded, or we just want to embellish our prayers and use high theological terms in them. God doesn't care so much about high theological terms. He would much rather have us speak to the heart, a child to his father. In our prayer closet, in our private times of prayer, we don't have to worry about that. There's nobody there to be mindful of, no man or around to be mindful of. And so we can be more focused on the Lord. And so this all boils down to a very basic, fundamental fact about prayer. It is a literal communication between a creature and the Creator. We're speaking to God, not the people that hear us in a public setting. And turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Here we have an interesting prayer of the Lord Jesus where he threaded that needle perfectly. John 11, verse 41. This was at the death and burial of Lazarus. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now notice he's praying here, but he's talking. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So here was a very simple prayer that the Lord Jesus said as a man praying unto his God and his Father. Thank you, Father. And that was the gist of his prayer. And he goes on to say, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so next, the Lord Jesus tells his Father that the reason why he was praying this way. He was cognizant of the fact that people were standing by and would hear it. And so he prayed this to the Father so that he wanted people to hear his prayer. He was still addressing God. He wasn't speaking to the people. He was addressing his Father, but he wanted the people to hear. And the reason was he wanted the people to hear and believe. He was saying, thank you, Father, for what you're about to do. He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And then, when his prayer to his Father was concluded, notice it says in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he's done speaking or praying to the Father, and when that was concluded, he addressed Lazarus. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So now he prayed to the Father. People heard it. He was aware that people heard his prayer to his Father. In fact, he had a purpose for them hearing it. And then when he concluded his prayer to his Father, then he spoke to Lazarus. And he called Lazarus. He commanded Lazarus to wake up, to become alive, to just get up and come out. And Jesus wanted the people to hear. He wanted to hear the people. He wanted the people to hear that he was praying to his Father and he was thanking his Father in advance for what was about to take place. And then when his prayer was done, then he could speak to Lazarus and he called him out of the tomb because he wanted the people to hear and believe. You know, sometimes it's good for unsaved people to hear Christians pray. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 implies that when the unsaved visit a local church and they sit through the worship service, they should sense something. They should sense our seriousness in our reverence, in the way that we pray, in the way that we sing, and in the way that we worship in general, and their conclusion will be to report that God is in you of a truth. They should sense that we're worshiping God. They should sense that we're singing to God. They should sense that we are praying to God. We're not praying to one another or speaking to one another in prayer-like languages. And imagine how confusing that would be to an unsaved person, say a pagan who came into a first century church, or another pagan who came into a 21st century church to a prayer meeting, and they heard people praying, and they're talking to God, and now it sounds like he's talking to us, and then he goes back and forth, and he vacillates. That would be confusing. So to summarize something that you already know, prayer is to be addressed to God because we are talking to him. And that's the simplest way to describe prayer, a literal, simple talk with God. And yet, prayer has lots of different meanings to different people. Some of them are very strange meanings and definitions of prayer. Here's one definition of prayer. A man wrote, "In summary, prayer transcends mere words." Oh, really? "It's a bridge connecting the innermost intentions with the vastness of existence. Whether you pray to the heavens or seek solace within, the act itself holds profound significance." He's saying the words aren't all that important. I would argue that's what prayer is. Words, communicating through words to the Father. Those words have meaning. It's not just an innermost intention that somehow communicates with the vastness of existence. That's very mystical kind of speech. Very much like the Eastern religions. And there's nothing Christian about it. Here's one man's description of different aspects of prayer. He says there is an external perspective. In Western traditions like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, God is often seen as an external construct, and prayer is directed toward this external deity. Well, you know, you can word it however you want, but yes, prayer is addressed to God. And then he describes another aspect of prayer, or another way of looking at it, the internal perspective. Eastern traditions such as Buddhism, Hinduism, and Taoism emphasize an interior archetype where prayer takes on a more introspective and meditative quality. So there you don't even need a God. You can just meditate and think in your own mind. And so these are some of the influences of Eastern prayer. And science, I have seen some examples of scientists who have done studies on religious people who pray, and they said, they mentioned the great effect that it has on your brain and body. Scientific research shows that prayer shares similarity with meditation. It calms the nervous system, reduces anxiety, and alleviates stress. Well, it may, but that's not why we pray. If that's why we pray, then our prayers are totally self-centered. We're praying to feel better. It's not a pill that we take. We're speaking to the Creator. He also mentions that by examining brain responses to medications, scientists find that prayer can enhance focus, improve mood, promote better cardiovascular health, and immune function. You know, science doesn't care whether you're to pray to God or not. As long, if you pray and meditate, science says that's good for you, even if you're an atheist. They note the benefits of prayer physically, but have no concern whatsoever about the spiritual realm. And we can look at this and say, okay, that's some unsaved scientist or an unsaved religious person looking at the subject of prayer. But beware if you buy a book, a Christian book on prayer today. It wasn't long ago that there seemed to be a whole array of books coming out so-called Christian books on the subject of prayer that were beginning to dabble into the principles of Eastern mystical religions and kind of blend it together with Christianity, prayer, and meditation. Some of those concepts were, one was called contemplative mysticism. It's a prayer that tries to get us to focus on our unity and our oneness, and it really was popular in the ecumenical movement. Then there was another aspect of prayer. A Jesuit priest named Anthony de Mello, it's called visualization or imaginative prayer. And it was kind of a fantasy prayer where you envision or you picture Jesus in your mind or Mary in your mind, and you have a conversation with them. And it was a spiritual exercise practiced by Ignatius, one of the early church fathers. And he said, try to imagine Christ our Lord present before you on the cross and begin to speak to him. Now that's called a visualization of prayer. I call it pretending. It's fake. It's not prayer. It's an invention of man. And so as believers, we're to get our concept of prayer from the Bible. We're not to pray for the health benefits of it. We're not to pray because it makes us feel good. How narcissistic is that? Prayer is not just a ritual or a spiritual exercise designed to make us feel peaceful or to alleviate stress. We want to go back to the very basics of what prayer is. In the Bible, it's talking to the Creator. It's communion between the creature and the Creator. And so if we want to learn how to pray, we don't go to the mystics, we don't go to the Catholic Jesuits, we don't go to Eastern religions, we go to the Bible. And there are lots of passages on prayer in the Bible. And then just do what it says. Pray. Talk to God. It's not a special language. It's not a language of angels. It's not an unknown tongue that we use to communicate with God. It's just speaking to God in our own language, communicating with him. It's speaking to our Father. And as we grow, our prayer time will grow. As we mature in the faith, our prayers will mature in the faith. But a person who's freshly born again, just got saved yesterday, I love to hear them pray. Because there's something very genuine about that. They haven't developed that, how would you describe it? They haven't developed that inner desire to sound spiritual to other people. They're just simply talking to God. That's all they know how to do. Please don't learn anything else. Don't learn anything different than that. Babes in Christ can cry out, Abba, Father, from a pure heart. And in a sense, that's the purest form of prayer, straight from the heart of the creature to the Creator. And you know, a little toddler may not be able to communicate very well. A little toddler may stumble over his words. He may not pronounce his words correctly, and he might have a very tiny vocabulary. But when a little toddler says to his father, I love you, Daddy, that melts his father's heart. Nothing could be more pleasing to his father. And so it's not the flowery language that we learn. It's communicating what's on our hearts to the Lord in a way that pleases God. And without faith, we cannot please him. Believing God, trusting in him, and talking to him. And so let's not cover up the simplicity of prayer with all the religious gobbledygook that we have accumulated over the years. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these very simple words about prayer that we hear in the scriptures. We thank you, Father, that the believers in Acts 12 talk to you about something that was on their hearts, and you responded. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to follow that pattern, that we would talk to you about all the issues that are going on in our lives, in the assembly, our families, in our country. And Lord, help us to stay focused on you as we pray. And we'll thank and praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.